Chapter 7, The Demon Under My Bed. Painful predicaments. There are wounds that never show on the body that are deeper and more hurtful than anything that bleeds. Laurel K. Hamilton, the pain has gone, said Hassan weakly as Ethan ran to him and held him in his arms.
Kara, come in here.
Call 911 now, yelled Ethan. Kara entered the room with horror as she saw Ethan's shirt covered in blood.
Why, Hassan? Asked Kara as Hassan smiled with his eyes full of tears.
Kara's tears began to drop on Hassan's face as she called 911.
I'm sorry, said Hassan.
Ethan wrapped a cloth around Hassan's wrist to stop the bleeding as they waited for an ambulance. Meanwhile, Hassan saw his sister standing near the window, smiling.
Finally, I will join you, said Hassan as he passed out.
Ethan and Kara were full of sadness and rage as they saw Hassan helplessly, but they didn't show it as there was a whole lot more that Hassan was feeling.
Stay awake and live as you promised me, yelled Kara as she heard the siren of the ambulance.
The paramedics arrived and took Hassan toward the ambulance.
Ethan asked Kara to go with Hassan as he had something else to do.
Don't do something stupid.
Hassan only has you and me as his family, said Kara as she climbed the ambulance.
Don't worry. I will see you at the hospital, said Ethan as he closed the ambulance's door. Ethan sat in his car and drove straight to John's mother Marguerite's place. When he reached, Ethan started banging on the door wildly.
I know you are in there.
Open up, John, screamed Ethan as Marguerite opened the door.
Where is that monster?
I want to see him right now, said Ethan as he frantically looked around for John.
You have no right to come here and speak about my son like this, exclaimed Marguerite as John entered the room.
Whose blood is that on your shirt? Asked John with worry.
Do you really want to know? Said Ethan.
Answer me, yelled John.
Ethan explained that Hassan had cut his wrists, was taken by the paramedics and wasn't sure whether he would make it.
He had signed the DNR last month.
I killed him, said John palely.
Ethan's eyes began to fill with tears and as he was about to leave, John asked which hospital Hassan was taken to.
You have done enough.
I could kill you right now.
Hassan doesn't deserve this.
He has only ever loved you.
Stay away from him.
You are a living nightmare, said Ethan.
After Ethan left, Marguerite remarked that John had indeed become a monster just like his father, to which John felt helpless.
Meanwhile, Ethan reached the hospital in his car and went to the emergency room to look for Kara.
Is he all right?
Did you know Hassan signed a DNR? Asked Ethan.
The doctors are still with him.
Yes, I know.
He asked me to mail the DNR form, but I never did, said Kara.
I'm glad, thank you, said Ethan as he hugged Kara.
Ethan told Kara that he went to John to tell him off and stay away from Hassan.
Kara responded that she would never let John near Hassan as he had done enough damage.
Ethan explained to her that Hassan will forgive John anyway and that both Ethan and Kara had to support Hassan on whatever he decides.
Kara protested that Ethan and herself have to look out for Hassan, to which Ethan agreed but argued that it was all in Hassan's hands.
As Ethan and Kara sat in the waiting room, the doctors arrived and informed that Hassan had a cardiac arrest but was out of danger and the next 24 hours were crucial, therefore, Hassan will have to be kept under observation.
Ethan and Kara took a sigh of relief and hugged each other.
Reminisce and let go, he was both everything I could ever want.
And nothing I could ever have, Renata Suzuki John was driving his car and frantically calling Ethan and Kara. But they weren't responding.
Since he couldn't be with Hassan at the moment, he went back to the house he shared with him.
As he entered through the garage, John saw Hassan's fingers on the wall.
John went downstairs and saw the paintings and photos that he had destroyed.
He had once lived happily in this space and now everything was ruined.
As John cried, he noticed Hassan's torn notebook lying on the floor.
A page that was still intact said, "You are here, but you are not with me.
It feels like a dark cloud has been passed on in our relationship.
Your hand's dead in mine.
I am with you, but only your shadow is here. I am watching you disappear, leaving me alone. Loneliness is nothing I want. Loneliness is shut off walls, locked windows and doors. Without you, I am fading away. Without you, I cannot stay. The black cloud took everything from me, took everything I had. Now the clouds cry for the both of us. John hugged the notebook close to his heart as he noticed a picture of him and Hassan smiling at the camera. John closed his eyes and saw Hassan smiling. He tried calling Ethan and Kara yet again, but there was no response. Born to live, the two most important days in your life are the day you are born and the day you find out why. Mark Twain. Brian called Kara to check on her as he did from time to time. Kara told him that Hassan was in bad condition. He insisted that he should visit, to which Kara refused, but Brian pestered and Kara finally gave in and texted him the address of the hospital. When Brian arrived and saw Hassan, he began to cry and kissed his forehead. Hassan was still unconscious, so Brian left after a while. After a few moments, Pete also reached and sat beside Hassan as Ethan and Kara prayed for him to get better. Hassan, on the other hand, was sound asleep in his bed and saw a white foggy place in his dream. He was looking around when he saw his father standing far away. Hassan went toward him, but he walked away. Hassan was startled and shook his head when he heard his sister's voice. "He doesn't want to talk to you," Hassan's sister said. "I'm glad to see you," said Hassan. "I'm not glad to see you at all." "You must return," said Hassan's sister. "I have to join you." "You are my family," said Hassan. "I don't want to do this, but no one wants to talk to you here." "Father is angry at you," said Hassan's sister. "I want to be with you," said Hassan. "I don't think so." "Look over there," said Hassan's sister as she pointed to a small dug hole holding water. In the water, Hassan could see Kara, Ethan and Pete crying and praying for Hassan. "You are not the kind of person who turns his back on his family," said Hassan's sister. "You are my family," said Hassan. "They are your family now and you must go back to them. You belong with them. Go back, take care of them. We will meet someday, but not today, not this way," said Hassan's sister as she walked away. Hassan woke up and felt Pete holding his hand. Hassan saw Ethan by the window crying as Kara sat on a chair praying. "I'm sorry," said Hassan weakly. "Don't ever do that again," said Pete as he kissed Hassan's hand. Hassan asked about the whereabouts of John, to which Kara got upset and asked that after all that John had done, why did he still want to see him? Hassan explained that he wanted to end his misery once and for all. After a few minutes, Ethan called John and told him to come to the hospital. As John entered, Ethan was punching the wall and Kara looked at him as if she wanted to slap John, but Ethan restrained her. Pete, however, punched John with all his might. "I deserve it," said John as he began to cry. John went towards Hassan and began to apologize, but Hassan interrupted him. "I have already forgiven you, but can you forgive yourself for what you have done?" asked Hassan. John was taken aback and responded that he can't live without Hassan. "My wounds are still fresh and I can't take it anymore. This is your last chance. But before that, do you have anything you want to say?" asked Hassan. John shook his head. "Remember, I gave you a chance to explain yourself. If I ever find out that you lied to me, we will be done," said Hassan. "I will never hurt you again," said John. "I want you to prove it through your actions, as I have already heard this before. Go home, clean up the mess, and we will live in separate rooms until I can trust you again," said Hassan. As John left, Hassan asked Ethan and Kara to go home while Pete would stay with him in the hospital. After Kara and Ethan left, Pete put his head on Hassan's shoulder and laid beside him in the bed. "What happened between you and Ethan?" asked Hassan to release the tension. As Pete went on about Ethan and his encounter with him, Hassan listened silently and smiled. "Will you let John back into your life?" asked Pete after he finished his story. He hasn't tasted my punishment, and if he ever hurts me again, I will leave him.
In the end, I'm no angel, said Hassan.
Should I be scared? Asked Pete. You shouldn't be, but there are so many doors for John.
Some of them opened with pain, some of them opened with anger, but most of them opened with love.
I cannot hate him even when he hurts me.
Every door I have for him has one key.
He is the key to every door I have for him, and I will have more doors for him.
Every door has a special part of me.
I will always keep them in me, explained Hassan.
Pete responded that every guy he has dated treated him as a sex object and never as an equal.
Hassan advised him that he should walk away from situations that cause harm and must set himself as a priority.
Pete begins to cry and calls Hassan his brother.
Hassan wipes his tears and holds Pete's hand and tells him that he will always find a brother and family in Hassan.
As Hassan and Pete were talking, Hassan received a text from John that said that he wanted to talk on the phone.
Hassan agreed, and as John called, he gave him a warning that he had awakened a monster in Hassan, and if John hurt him again, he would be severely punished.
John got confused, but Hassan continued that he will make him feel the pain that he was feeling right now.
John wanted to heal Hassan, but he was shattered into a million pieces and asked John if he could actually handle love and could it exist without pain.
John explained that he saw Hassan kiss a guy and got angry, due to which he destroyed everything.
Hassan told John that he was blinded by jealousy and if he had stayed another moment, he would know that it was all a misunderstanding.
After ending the call, Hassan began to cry and Pete wrapped him in his arms.
After a few hours, Kyle visited Hassan, and when he saw that he was asleep, Kyle began to relive the memory when he had met Hassan for the first time.
Kyle was going to propose to his girlfriend, but he found her sleeping with his best friend on his bed.
Kyle was crying and walked aimlessly on the street when he decided to sit on a walkway.
No one noticed him until Hassan came and sat next to him.
If you want to cry, cry like a winner.
I don't know what happened to you, but crying here like this won't help you, said Hassan.
Leave me alone, Kyle said.
Stand up.
We can go to a park nearby, said Hassan.
Kyle wanted to stay, but Hassan pestered him, and after a few minutes, both of them walked towards the park and sat on a bench.
You are upset because of a girl, said Hassan.
How did you know? Asked Kyle.
You're holding an expensive ring, at least it looks expensive, said Hassan.
I found my girlfriend in bed with my best friend, said Kyle.
First of all, you have to return the ring and make your girlfriend move by collecting her stuff, putting it outside your door and changing the locks, said Hassan.
But where will she go? Asked Kyle.
Look at yourself.
You are worried about a girl who cheated on you.
She can live with your ex-best friend.
Who cares? Said Hassan.
Kyle and Hassan went to the jewelry store to return the ring, and after that, Hassan asked Kyle to smile and said that it would make him unstoppable, as anyone who smiles with a broken heart can do anything.
Kyle thanked Hassan profusely and said that Hassan made his day and he felt much better.
The next morning, Hassan woke up and saw Pete sleeping beside him.
After a while, Hassan woke Pete up and thanked him for being there for him, to which Pete said that they were family.
After a while, Brian came to visit and Pete left for the cafeteria.
Brian handed a bluish-green crystal called the Amazonite to Hassan and told him to rub it between his finger and thumb for 5 minutes whenever he felt overwhelmed.
Hassan thanked him and Brian gave him a kiss on the forehead.
After Brian left the room, he thought for a moment about how he took advantage of Hassan but wasn't feeling guilty.
After Brian left, Kyle came to visit and asked Hassan whether he was doing better, to which Hassan responded that he was feeling weak.
Kyle said that this should be John's last chance, to which Hassan agreed.
After a while, Kyle left and Pete came back from the cafeteria asking Hassan to get better so that they can have a big hearty breakfast at home.
Later in the day, Andrew visited and talked to Hassan about his health.
Hassan assured him that he was doing all right, and Andrew suggested that he should move in as he wanted to be around people who were caring and compassionate because his ex, Patrick, had done a number on him.
Hassan told Andrew to move in any time he wants.
John visited Hassan in the hospital with flowers and began talking when Hassan interrupted him. People in relationships are expected to be the closest allies, most incredible love and support sources. I love John, who is the love of my life. The kindest, most fantastic person in the world.
You are not him, said Hassan.
I'm right here.
I'm with you, said John as he wiped his tears.
If you are, then why do I have this, said Hassan as he pointed to his wrist.
I understand you are upset, said John.
Upset?
I'm furious.
You don't get to slaughter me with a blind blade and return to my life like nothing happened, said Hassan.
You can do whatever you want with me, but please don't leave me, pleaded John.
I want you to feel what I felt.
I want you to feel the pain you've caused and see my wrath, so you will never do this again, said Hassan.
John felt guilty and helpless, and Hassan asked him to sleep in the guest room for a while before things got better.
Hassan was getting discharged tomorrow and John asked him if he wanted help getting home, to which Hassan responded that he will see him once he gets home.
John was about to leave when Hassan whispered a slight, I love you.
John turned around and gave Hassan a long comforting hug with a kiss on the forehead.
Is there anything you want to say before we move on?
Asked Hassan. Nothing at all, John responded.
Remember, this is your last chance.
If I find out that you hid something or lied, that means we are done, said Hassan.
I understand, said John.
John left the hospital thinking that he had lost Hassan forever as it was only a matter of time before Hassan left him.
The fear of being alone and the guilt of hurting Hassan was eating John from the inside.
John didn't want the relationship to be over, but it was now out of his hands.
Hassan was alone in the hospital room with tears in his eyes.
I am sorry for being hard on you, but I need our relationship to rise from the dead.
Please don't hide anything.
I want to be with you, Hassan said aloud.
People tend to forget about the relationship they have with themselves and completely prioritize the other person, which isn't fair.
There are things that are in a person's control and then there are some things that are not.
There are so many unexpected internal shifts that can happen when a relationship is being repaired.
It is only a matter of time until the picture gets clearer and things sort themselves out.
It was time for Hassan to leave the hospital and return home.
Andrew had come to pick him up along with Pete, who was quite happy to go home as he hated hospitals.
I am happy that you are leaving the hospital, said Pete. I know.
I can sense it, said Hassan with a smile.
What's the first thing you want me to cook for you when we get home? Asked Pete.
Do you think of food all the time? Asked Andrew coyly.
Not all the time.
I'm just being polite, said Pete.
I was only joking with you, said Andrew.
Really, said Pete, don't mind him.
I would love to eat anything you want to cook, said Hassan and smiled.
Okay, but you have to eat some soup, said Pete.
Deal, said Hassan. Pete and Hassan got in Andrew's car and he drove home.
On the way, Pete asked Hassan when they will go on a city tour, to which he responded with a soon.
Once they reached home, Hassan got out of the car, but instead of going inside, he stood in front of the house, looked at it silently, and everything that had happened on the day he slit his wrists came rushing back.
It was a painful time for everyone involved, and Hassan never wanted such a situation to ever happen again.